Just a note before we start. Our show talks about touchy subjects that may be difficult for some of our listeners. Take care of yourself. If you feel you need to seek help, see the links at the end of our show notes for resources.
Welcome to Touchy Subjects, a podcast that aims to make those awkward conversations around domestic and sexual violence just a little less awkward. I'm Sean.
I'm Allie.
And I'm Sierra.
And in today's episode, we're going to be discussing the health impacts of unhealthy masculinity.
Our last episode, we discussed masculinity in general. And we want to reiterate in this episode that we aren't saying that masculinity itself is unhealthy, right? But if that's not an episode that you've listened to so far, it might be a good idea to go back and listen to that one before today's episode, because it'll give you more background on kind of where we're coming from with this episode.
So as we got into a little bit in our last episode, one thing that we did talk about was men's mental health and how that impacts them as well as how that impacts the society that they live in. So we wanted to again touch on that today and kind of talk about it a little bit more in depth rather than just discussing that there's stigma to getting help and things like that. We want to take it a little bit further.
Yeah, the issue of men's mental health is something that affects not only men, but I mean everyone, right? This is actually something that's really near and dear to me at this current moment. And it's something that we need to be talking about. So to kind of recap what, maybe Sean, we can recap some of the unhealthy masculine ideals that lead to some of these health outcomes.
Yeah. So if we're looking at a stereotypical standpoint of what we view a man to be in our society or what we expect a man to be, is they have to be tough, strong, buff. They have to be the breadwinners of the family. They have to be emotionless, or they can't express emotion except for anger. They are going to be violent. They're going to be aggressive. They are going to not express anything that is feminine, is essentially what we end up viewing a man as. And when men themselves are holding themselves to these standards, or when they are living in a community that is expecting all men to behave in this specific way, it creates a big issue then for men, because if we're expected to be emotionless, we can only express anger, we're avoiding all things that are feminine, that then includes therapy. We're taught to not ask for help. We're taught we can do this alone. We're strong enough to be able to tough through this. We get told to man up if things aren't going the way that we think they should be going, or something happens to us that's bad. They're just like, oh, just don't be a pussy, like, fight through it, you're fine. And this has an effect on men, where if we're not able to talk about our issues, talk about our problems, or we view seeking help as a feminine trait, we avoid doing it. And in doing so, we're doing a disservice to ourselves and the other men in our communities, because we're making it so we don't seek help, which means we're dealing with our mental health issues generally on our own. And the only other real time that we ever can deal with our mental health issues is getting really drunk and talking to our friends.
Right. And in talking about this, it's clear that in our society, emotions equal feminine, right? That's something that we talked about with, you know, rigid gender roles, is that females or female identifying individuals are expected to be the ones that carry the emotional burden, right? They're allowed to have feelings, and masculine or male-identifying individuals are not. And so when something as basically human as emotions are gendered, then that means that half of our population is likely to push them down and do unhealthy things with those emotions, right?
Yeah. And when we look at men already having a higher risk-taking behavior than women, coupling that with the fact of us not being able to deal with our emotions and talk about it, those risk-taking behaviors then become things that we do to cope with our unsolved mental health problems. Like I mentioned, drinking and getting really drunk with our friends to talk about stuff. It's also why that my men are probably more likely to be the ones who are using drugs. Doing things that are going to help pull them out of that funk that they're going to be in because of their mental health problems, so they can at least like feel good for a while. And when we're looking at like guys my age, so me being 26 currently, looking at the age range from between 22 to 44, is how the CDC ended up breaking this up, is that my most likely cause of death is going to be an unintended injury. And now that could be because of men just having a higher risk-taking behavior, but also unintended injury is probably just the way that young people are going to go, just because that's how the world works, basically. There's no health problems, really, that we're going to have that's going to kill us off yet. But moving on to the next three things that are the most likely thing to kill me is suicide, and then tied for third is homicide and heart disease. So if we're looking at mental health problems as an issue for men, we can see that in the number two reason for death in people my age is suicide. If you can't talk about your problems, suicide might be the only option that they see then for them, especially considering that men already have higher rates of completed suicide attempts than females. And then if we're going further into how men are viewed in society, heart disease and homicide, men are viewed as more violent, so more likely I'm going to be in a violent situation where could potentially be murdered. And then heart disease stemming from overdue stress on myself because of the societal standards that I'm expected to live up to.
Not only can unhealthy masculinity take a toll on somebody's mental health, but it also does impact physical health as well. And we kind of already alluded to this a little bit in a couple of different aspects. For example, when men decide to use substances or start smoking or drinking alcohol or things like that to help cope with this mental health issues that they feel that due to society standards they aren't able to address properly, not only is that an unhealthy way of coping, but can also impact their physical health just with the side effects that come along with those things in general. But not only are men who have these ideals of unhealthy masculinity more likely to deal with stress in ways that are not health promoting, they are also more likely to engage in dangerous sexual activity or not use seatbelts or not get health screenings or things like that. So it's something to think about, is just how not only the coping of the mental health goes into physical health, but just those other physical health aspects that are impacted by unhealthy masculinity in and of itself. Going along with the topic of heart disease that Sean had mentioned, men are also less likely to eat healthy because ads show them that eating healthy is boring and doesn't provide them the sufficient energy and protein that they need for manly work. And not only that, but it's also being healthy is also deemed as something that's girly. Kind of like when we talked about fruity drinks last time, now it's the fruit this time. But that's just kind of a basic overview of how physical health is also impacted.
Yeah, like I can tell you as a dude that I rarely will go see my doctor. It's like I have to be like dying or just not feeling great for like a week and a half before I'm like, okay, I should probably see somebody medical to help me out. It's like in general, I'll be like, oh, I can just like take some NyQuil and it'll probably go away, or just hopefully it'll solve itself, essentially, which is not a great way to solve any health problem at all. Not particularly.
Well, and that's a good point, though. So to sum things up, not only, you know, mental and physical health for people in general are connected, right? But especially when we're talking about this topic of masculinity and unhealthy masculinity ideals, the coping skills that many men use to deal with mental health issues, because of those ideals, so smoking and drinking and fighting and not talking out loud about their feelings, all of those things have distinct physical health impacts, right? There are plenty of studies that show that. And so not only are men more likely to have side effects from those coping skills, but at a baseline, they're also less likely to go to the doctor, period. They're less likely to go in for regular health screenings. They're less likely to participate in preventative measures because that doesn't fit the box of what our society expects of men, right? Being health conscious is not exactly an ideal that traditional masculinity supports, right? Being muscular, buff, and working out a ton, sure. But being health conscious is a little bit different. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because like I can recognize when my body is like, something's a little off here, but I don't do anything about it. Cause I'm like, my body will take care of itself, or like I know what to do. Like I can just take this medicine that I think would help, and then it'll go away. It's like I will actively tell myself like, I don't need to go see a doctor because they're just gonna tell me it's this. So why would I spend the money to go see a doctor and like do, go through all that when I already know better and know what to do?
It's a pride thing.
Which obviously not a doctor.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. And, you know, all of the things that we're talking about when it comes to health outcomes, these have all been researched. We're not just, you know, surmising these things. So if there's evidence to back up what we're saying, we see that as evidence that we need to be talking about masculinity, which is why we're doing this series of podcasts, is because this is important. It's not just the ideals that our society, believes men should be. It doesn't stop there. It has real life implications for the health and well-being of not only men, but of families and women and the people that love men. So we wanted to outline that.
So if you are a medical professional listening to this and you have found it difficult engaging men in like following through with health things that you're telling them like, hey, maybe eat a little bit better or do something like to help your health, like see a therapist, something like that. Because men, if they do believe in living up to these specific standards of what it means to be a man, they're probably not going to listen to those things because they're like, I can do this on my own. I don't need help. Like, I'm not going to eat that food. Like, just stuff like that. So if we change the message on how we're talking to these men then and using the stereotypical masculine traits in the explanation for why they should be doing some of these health things, it might make it more palatable or more easily followed through by these men. So by saying things like, well, if you go to therapy and you work with a therapist, your mental health will be in a lot better place to where you'll be able to help manage your family's issues better. Or if you were to follow through and eat this healthier diet, lose some weight, things like that, you will be around probably longer to be able to help maintain your family's finances, or to be able to keep making money for your family, or to keep being able to provide for them longer. So, while yes, we would love to get to a place where not all men feel they need to live into this man box or to live up to all these stereotypical viewpoints of being a man, but we're not there yet. And even when we get there, there are still going to be those men who feel like they need to be the tough, masculine, strong ones. They don't want to talk about their emotions, which is fine. As long as we're able to figure out a way to help them be able to still have better health outcomes because of it.
Absolutely. And so when you were talking about the leading causes of death for young men, the last one that you said that was tied with heart disease, which kind of got us talking about health outcomes, physical health outcomes, was homicide. And homicide clearly is a form of violence. It is a form of aggression. And so this is the other part of masculinity that we want to talk about, because violence as a norm in our society is a health outcome. It's a public health outcome, but it does impact health. So let's talk a little bit about the link between unhealthy masculinity and ideals and violence.
Well, we can start with the fact that from the very young age, men and boys are taught, you know, to deal with their problems with violence. They have things like war and fighting and, you know, all of that kind of stuff glorified as a way to solve problems and to, you know, figure things out. That whole competition aspect, too, just adds into it.
So, like, and like you're saying, Sierra, when men or young boys specifically learn to solve problems through violence and we're only allowing ourselves to experience anger as an emotion, because we get taught to not really experience anything else because all the other emotions are feminine. Once you get into situations where there's some kind of altercation happening or there's some like disagreement on some things, like let's say we're at, my friends and I are at the bar and a disagreement happens with somebody else at the bar. The first option for us should be, let's talk this out with the person to de-escalate the situation, not let's keep egging this dude on and get to a point where we're now going to have to fight this guy, because that's how we're going to solve the issue, is if we beat the guy up, the problem has been solved. Which I'll use the example all the time with my students and stuff is that violence doesn't solve violence. Even when my students tell me like, oh, but if I beat the guy up, like it's solved, like it's done. It's like, what's to stop that guy from bringing his friends back the next day then to beat you up? And then what's to stop you from getting your friends then to help beat that guy and that group of friends up? It's a cycle that's going to keep going unless you figure out a way to resolve issues that don't involve violence.
Right. And another thing with violence is obviously it's the work that we do every day. This masculinity, the ideals of masculinity absolutely affect domestic and sexual violence, right? And I think that that is something that we need to talk about because, of course, this stuff affects men, but it also affects violence against women, or largely violence against women. So when these masculine ideals say that men need to be in control and have power, and they can't do anything that's feminine, it naturally places men on this pedestal above women, right? And that idea reinforces the fact that men should have control over women. They should be able to do what they want, right? And women are lesser than them, which leads to things like intimate partner violence, domestic violence, and sexual assault. When perpetrators feel like I get to do what I want because that's what I'm supposed to be doing, right?
Yeah. We talk about power and control being the number one or the actual cause of domestic and sexual violence. And if power and control are the cause of domestic and sexual violence, and we have placed men in a society where they believe that they need to have power and control, we have specifically set men up to be potentially abusive in their relationships because we have intertwined power and control with what it means to be a man, as well as being the cause of domestic and sexual violence. And when we look at violence and we look at like violent crimes in the United States, so if you're from a different country, sorry, this statistic may not be relevant, but it would probably also correlate to your country as well. But men are the number one people who commit violent crimes. Most violent crimes are going to be committed by men, as well as most domestic and sexual violence cases are going to be committed by men. Now, I will say, not all men are violent. Not all men are going to be abusing their partners. Not all men are going to sexually assault women. But men are the ones who do this more often. So when we're looking at things like the Me Too movement and how women are being viewed by men, a lot of times I'll have discussions with men where they say, like, I'm worried about even talking to a woman now, or I'm worried about how women are going to be viewing me. Well, in a society where most violent crimes are committed by men, you can't really blame women for being slightly wary around men. Because even though we know most men will never do anything to ever harm a woman, because there are some men who do, when we then raise women and teach them to do things to protect themselves, one of those protective things is be wary of men you don't know. So we're setting up women already to just view men as potential perpetrators because, again, we're the ones who do most of this stuff. And when we're looking at violence in general, if we believe that men are inherently more violent, which I don't believe that men are inherently more violent, but if we're believing that men are inherently more violent, we are setting up people in our society to view us as violent people. Now, is this just because of us being born more violent, or is it because of the society that we're growing up in telling us that violence is the solution to our problems? I'm not a sociologist. I'm not a psychologist. I cannot dictate that one way or the other. But if I were to take a stand on it, it would be men aren't born violent. We are taught that violence is how we solve our issues. So therefore, we're going to solve issues through violence. And if an issue arises in our relationships, if an issue arises in dating, with friends, with family, our go-to then is to solve it through violence. So we're being set up by this system of what our society believes it means to be a man to be potentially violent in relationships.
I think that's a really great way to put it. It's clear that this isn't, you know, we started this conversation saying we don't believe masculinity itself is harmful. What's harmful is the expectations of our society that are put on men, right? So this is all about the way that we socialize our children and the way that we are socialized in our society. So I think that was a really good explanation of how this happens, where we're coming from.
And as a guy, I can tell you countless times that I have had discussions with friends, with just other men in the community, with my male students, about us expressing things that are not the stereotypical masculine things and how much we enjoy that stuff. It's like, I had a heart-to-heart with one of my students, talking about like how he is an emotional guy. He loved romantic comedy movies and stuff like that. And he's like, but I can't tell people because I'm worried about how they're going to view me, which sucks. Like, you should never have to live in a society or be part of a friend group or be in a school classroom where you feel like you cannot express a part of yourself. It's like, we mention it when we're talking about the LGBT community and having someone who is gay, who is trans, like being able to be themselves in their community and feel safe, which they should be able to feel safe in their communities. Women should be able to feel safe in their communities. And men should also feel safe in their communities to be who they want to be as well. And it goes into a whole discussion about how do men already not feel safe? It's like, we're men, so we're supposed to be the ones who are already the powerful ones, which, as men, we are more likely to have violence perpetrated against us from other men, which is the fear of expressing those feminine traits. Then is, if we're expressing feminine traits, we're being viewed as less than by the other men in our community, which sets us up for violence.
Exactly. Well, I think that, Sean, you kind of summed up the whole reason for us doing this podcast series in and of itself. It's just masculinity in and of itself is not bad. However, how society chooses to handle masculinity and stigmatize masculinity is what's harmful. So by talking about these things, by having discussions like we've been having over the last now two podcasts, it opens up that door for men to be themselves and learn how to accept themselves and learn how to demand respectfully that others respect them and who they are as well. So I think that we could eventually have a future that is free from violence and free from, you know, these mental and physical impacts of unhealthy masculinity. However, it really has to start now with these discussions of, you know, what healthy masculinity does look like so that we can provide those tools and that we can help to, you know, make these things happen in our communities.
Yeah, absolutely. And jumping off of that, before we wrap up today, I want to put it out there that if you are struggling with your mental health, right, and you feel like you can't talk to people because of masculine ideals or whatever the reason may be, just know that there are people out there that want to help. That want to help you, that want to listen to you. And I would bet that there are people in your life that you've never talked about these things with, but they would be 100% open to hearing them if you came to them with those things. So because we talked about suicidality today and because it's something that's touched our lives personally, we do want to put that out there, that if you are having suicidal thoughts, if you are struggling, there are people out there that will help. You can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, and that number is 1-800-273-8255. And that's 24/7. There are trained people on the end of that line, and you can get the help that you need. There are people out there that care about you and that will help.
If you are a man and you feel like you have been experiencing depression, anxiety, any form of mental health issue, like, seek help. It doesn't make you weaker for doing so. And it's something that I tell a lot of men when I'm doing presentations, is what makes you a stronger man? Going with the flow and just sitting comfortably in your box, or actively pushing against the flow, the current of that river, to do the thing that is going to be more difficult for you to do? Obviously, it's going to be more difficult for you to seek help, to talk to a therapist, but that's also the stronger thing for you to be able to do and admit. And I love my therapist. She is amazing, and I would highly recommend anybody see a therapist. So thank you all for listening today. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TouchySubsPod. Email us any questions, comments, or concerns to touchysubjectspodcast@gmail.com.
And in the meantime, don't be afraid to challenge, ask, and discuss when it comes to touchy subjects.